Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
What in the heck is up this week? Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Brady Wright, Shane Osborne, Steve, the producer, Johan, joining billions, quadrillions, godzillions of listeners.
There goes Tokyo.
That's right.
Godzilla.
It's the 104th episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and here we are one more time saying stuff into a Macrophilus as though we knew what we were saying. We have news, we do, in the automotive world because Steve is here. And when Steve is here, unlike Shane, who is not here,
for our longtime listeners, which we know there are many,
yes.
Is that anything new?
No, Shane, you know what? Shane is actually knee deep in a project up at the shop.
Yes, he is.
So for those of you who don't, you know, listen regularly or maybe coming in for the first time, welcome, by the way. Shane Osborne, our co-host, is also the general manager of a really cool fab shop called E-Company Customs. And when Shane is not here, it's usually because one of two things. He's either sick as a dog, which he's an expert at, or he's in the middle of some customer's car up to his elbows in paint or chrome or something else. And tonight is one of those nights. So that's okay. We will hold forth in his honor, and we will say something mechanic-ish.
Well, that's right. And later on, we're going to have a little roundtable discussion about something that we were really hoping he'd be able to give his 2 cents worth. But, you know, well, that's okay.
Shane's 2.5 cents.
He might be a quarter. He's
almost
a big boy.
Yeah, he's almost 3 cents.
Yes, that's true. Well, despite a $1 million fine from the Securities and Exchange Commission, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn appears to be getting fairer and better treatment that he's received from the Japanese regulators during the last year.
Oh, boy.
Nissan also received a $15 million fine as part of a settlement for falsely reporting Ghosn's comprehensive compensation package. Now,
They said, here's how much we're paying him.
That's right.
And then they said, no.
No.
You're actually paying him more than that.
That's right.
And why didn't you tell us that? And by the way, that's a federal violation. And they went, well, we didn't know. Yes, you did.
You got to wonder how many CEOs in many different companies are looking at ways to hide their money.
Oh, well, of course.
You know, stash it away if they could.
Why do you think foundations and trust funds are such popular?
Well, that's
financial hedges.
Don't tell anybody, but that's exactly what those are.
Well, of course, they are.
Instead of an offshore account, you just start a trust fund or a foundation. Yeah. And, well, don't get me started on that one. Oh, my gosh. Like colleges that have probably $30-40 billion sitting in a fund that they're not going to use.
Yeah.
Hyundai Motor Group has launched a new joint venture with the autonomous vehicle development company Aptiv, which is APTIV.
Oh, I've seen those. I've seen the name anyway.
Aimed at bringing to market production ready autonomous vehicles by 2022, which, wow, that's like 2.5 years ago. 2.5 years ahead. The two companies announced on Monday the 50-50 partnership valued at $4 billion. Now, how do you... you ever watch that Shark Tank show?
Now and then, yeah.
Okay, well, they're always talking about valuations, and it's not necessarily based on sales right now. It's based on projections. So,
of course.
They're not even selling anything yet, but it's already valued at $4 billion.
Sounds like Bitcoin to me.
Yes.
So this fake money that's electronic is going to be worth a whole bunch of money.
Right.
If you don't change the code. But wait.
I know. The nice thing about Bitcoin, though, that I've been hearing is it's blockchain technology. And the nice thing about that is it's scattered all over the place, and people can't come in and take it.
Yeah, they also can't find it.
That's right.
It's
just a weird thing.
That whole thing makes me nervous.
I know.
It's because I grew up having money in my hand.
I know.
I want to know where it was, where it is, and what it's worth.
Me too. Another retired United Auto Worker official has been charged with accepting a $123,000 kickback from a vendor doing business with a training fund. You know, never-ending training fund gate.
Oh, man.
With
you know,
UAW
we're just talking about billions.
Yes.
And $123,000, actually, for a minute there, just sounded like a small amount of money.
I know.
It's not.
No.
It's more than we will make this hour.
Oh, gosh. Jeff Petsky was charged with wire fraud and conspiracy to commit money laundering in the U.S. District Court in Eastern District of Michigan.
That's not good stuff to get charged with.
That's not.
The government doesn't give up on that, you know? It's like tax fraud.
It is.
They got nothing else to do, and eventually they will get you.
You know, the interesting thing is that they don't go after themselves for fraud. So
well, now, that's a whole other discussion. We need to have that. That's a different show.
We need to bring in we're planning to do some roundtables in the future. Maybe we'll do a round. No, we're not going that route.
We're sticking with cars.
Well, speaking of government, California, to make good on its promise to Trump administration, if it revoked its ability to set its own automotive emission standards. Mr. President, we will see you in court, California Attorney General Xavier Becerra said in announcing the petition. Well, there's actually now there is, what did I come across here? They're really ramping this thing up.
Here's my question, and you probably have this someplace in your notes. California has for a long time set a separate bunch of emission standards for cars that are bought and sold there.
Yep.
Now, the question is, can they legally do that? Well, they are doing it, so it's almost moot. And yet, everybody knows that cars that were built or sold in California, if you take them out of the state and sell them someplace else, they're a giant pain because they don't work the same way as every other car on the planet. And the idea is, it's much cleaner. It doesn't pollute as much. Well, really, that's not an issue. It's not. Carbon emissions from those cars, as opposed to carbon emissions from another car, do not have any material effect on the overall, carbon problem. It's negligible.
It was done because it was originally put in place back in the 60s.
Yes.
Because L.A. is a bowl, and it has that, what do you call that,
it's a giant low pressure area over the air.
Yes, exactly.
It traps the air.
But
here's the problem. While that is true, and while the air quality in Los Angeles, could definitely use some work, it's improved, immeasurably over the last 20
years. Oh, gosh, I
was
down there in the 70s, and you couldn't even breathe.
Yeah, it's horrible. But that's not the only city on the planet where that happens.
No.
Pakistan, Russia, and China are by orders of magnitude worse than us.
Right.
And, the whole concept of this is helping the climate isn't really the issue. It may help the air in Los Angeles, and that's okay.
I think it was designed for not the climate, but for the air.
But that's what they're selling now. They're selling this is it. And so it's a tax thing. It's a money deal. And you have to pay us this in order to make the cars this way. And what are they doing with that money is the question.
Well,
and the idea that the president,
yes.
the state of California cannot say, hey, Mr. President, regardless of who's the president, by the way, they can't say, you can't tell us what we can do. Well, actually, the federal statutes override the state statutes.
Well,
they can.
Here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Less than a week after this report came out, federal regulators announced that they were eliminating the waiver allowing California to set its own greenhouse gas emission.
There you go.
Head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency on Monday threatened to pull federal highway funds because of state's air quality problems. Now, in a letter sent to the head of California Air Resource Board, that's CARB, on Tuesday, EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler declared that California has failed to carry out its most basic task under the Clean Air Act, thus suffers from the worst air quality in the United States. As a result, it could lose as much as $4 billion in highway funding during the coming fiscal year.
Now, you're saying that the air quality in Los Angeles is worse than the air
quality... No, this is because they've pulled... It's
worse
because
than Detroit?
California is not playing ball with the feds, and the feds are saying, fine, we'll just make it so that you get fined for not doing what we want. It's a battle. This is a battle between state and fed.
Guess who's going to win?
We all know the Fed's going to win.
I mean,
God, you don't go against the
sooner or later. Oh, they'll yell
I think
and scream
the Civil
about
War
it.
Kind of pointed out that that state rights kind of went away.
Well, but I mean, I understand what the problem is. I get why they want it, but the methodology is not going to be successful in this particular case. They need a different line of logic.
Well, yeah, it does.
And in my humble opinion,
and it's $4 billion in highway funding during the coming fiscal year. So, matter of fact, that's how a lot of cities and counties and municipalities get their money is that they don't follow certain agendas put out by the feds. They lose tax dollars.
That's right.
So that's how things go.
Hey, glad you're with us. Coming up, we got the beginning of a roundtable discussion on a very important topic for all hot rodders. If you are building a custom car, do not go away. It's coming up on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Welcome back to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust with the first half of the Windshield View. And this week, we are actually talking about a subject in the news that we should all think over. Recently, Kevin Hart, as you might know if you've been watching any of the news reports, was in a horrendous little accident, not so little, with a modified 1970 Speedcore Barracuda. Yep. SEMA car, actually. It was created for SEMA. And I thought, and Brady and I discussed this, it would be great to have a roundtable discussion. Really, we're hoping to have Shane, because he comes from, you know, the customizing side of things. But we wanted to ask, what is the responsibility of customizers based on the following story? Now, here's the story. Actor and comedian Kevin Hart's horrible crash as a passenger in his Hellcat engine-equipped 1970 Plymouth Barracuda might spell tougher laws for customizers in California and the rest of the country. Hart was riding shotgun in a 720-horsepower Speedcore Barracuda SEMA car with friend Jared Black behind the wheel when Black lost control, sent them through a fence and down into a ditch. The roof of the car was crushed, as were Hart's and Black's backs. Both have been through surgery and will survive with a lot of physical therapy to come. Now, this report that I'm coming from is from TMZ, and they said they talked to the California Highway Patrol, who said, Its protocol is to disassemble cars involved in either fatal or major injuries to determine the cause of a crash.
So they will take the wrecked car.
Yes.
And they will pull it to pieces to determine what sort of equipment was in it. And by the way, the pictures, this thing happened on September 1st. And the pictures have been all over the place. If you haven't seen it, you can Google TMZ, you can Google Kevin Hart's accident. Any of those things will get you quite a bit of information. They rolled the thing into a ditch. So just imagine, I don't know how fast they were going, but they were moving. And this Jared Black apparently is not a professional driver of it.
Nope.
He's a friend of Kevin's. He was just driving the car.
Nope.
And so they're going to take this car apart, as you point out, and they're going to come up with what exactly was the build, what was the safety equipment that was in it or lack thereof, what kind of harness or roll cage or anything like that. I think I may have a version of the same article you have there, Steve, but this sentence killed me. It's several owners of car customizing shops. They talked to a bunch of different people that specialize in performance vehicles. TMZ said, they said it's highly unusual for cars with 720 horsepower to be outfitted without a five-point harness and a roll cage. Highly unusual. This car had neither of those. And the jump from highly unusual to criminally negligent is not a small one.
Right.
There's a big difference there, because highly unusual doesn't necessarily mean there's negligence. And as lawyers, you know, lawyers are going to take this thing to the cleaners.
Yeah.
This is going to be over, you know, dubbed 9,000 times. But we don't know if there was a lap belt was still in the Barracuda. The car didn't come standard with a 5-point harness or airbags. And that's mentioned in the lawsuit as a kind of a point of contention. Now, just you and me, now we're just talking here. If I had the money to have a car like this built, and that was, you know, we're talking $120,000 easy, I'm sure.
Easy.
So if I did this personally, I would opt for all the protection gear I could.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm not a professional driver and I like driving, but let's face it,
right.
You know, there's a limit here, and 720 horse is a lot of motor.
That's
a lot of motor.
Yes.
In a car, by the way, you can trick them out. It's a 70 Barracuda, and just the chassis of that car, even if they built a brand new one, it's not set up for that kind of horsepower. So it would have had to get modified, it would have had to get stressed, it had to get, you know, all this gear put in there. Would you not put in safety gear? Well, most people would. Now, if Kevin did not, and we're thumbnailing here, so I
can't. Yes.
But if he chose not to, been in the idea of it wouldn't have been traditional, you know, period correct.
Right.
Great. The question now becomes, does that make him liable for ordering the build that way? Does it make the shop liable for not saying, no, we're not going to do it unless we put the safety gear in? Does it make them culpable if people were injured in a car, even if they had a document that says we're going to hold harmless the shop and the builder? We did what you wanted,
right?
We are not responsible. Well, lawyers are going to go, that's not worth the paper it's written on. You're all getting hung up.
Well, and it says,
you know,
California Highway Patrol said even if there were mechanical problems, a
right.
harness could have prevented or minimized the injuries that the individuals received. So in other words, that line tells me that there wasn't proper harnesses in there.
Likely not.
Likely
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
And then didn't you say that there was also information that there was other individuals in the back where there is no back seat and they were in some beanbag chairs back
there?
Well,
no, I said they were like beanbags. Kevin Hart is already kind of in the crosshairs of two other people who were in the Barracuda because the thing didn't have any safety harness or airbags. He should have been concerned about that. There were not, according to this article I'm reading here, which is not TMZ, it's another lesson, there weren't any seats in the back. So I don't know what these guys are sitting on.
Okay.
But if you crash a car, I can't speak for you, I have rolled a car.
Yes.
And when you go over like that, I don't care what you're wearing, you flop around. There's no way, you can't, unless you're in a big 5-point racing harness.
Right.
And they were not. The guys in the back seat literally were meat puppets. You know, they just went flying around
oh, yes.
in there. It's
oh, yeah.
amazing they're not dead.
That's right.
But having said that, what lack of brain allows you to get in the back of a car like that with that kind of motor with a guy who doesn't, clearly, I'm not a driver.
I'm
bare metal.
I'm wondering if yeah. they did any toxicology reports
oh, you
on
bet
these
did.
Individuals.
Of course they did.
Because
they
I got did. A feeling. Now, there's no proof of anything. This is all conjecture on my part. But maybe they were hanging out with Joe Rogan. And you know, I'm not
back
saying.
Back in the day, Joe was crazy. But these days, I think he'd be voting for
no,
safety.
No, I'm just saying. If they were on a show and they were toking some of the good stuff,
well,
then I'm just using him as an excuse. He has nothing to do with this, folks. Please, nothing to do with this. But let's back up here for a second. My buddy, 69 Chevelle, coming home one night out on the streets up off the Hannigan Road on his way home. It's like a 5 to 7 mile just straight away out there on the reservation, next near the reservation, and heading out to Sandy Point where he lived up in Ferndale. And he was doing, he said, at about 70 miles an hour, which is normal for that area in that car at that time for him and me at that time. He dodged a deer, he claimed, and it ran his car through about 100 yards of a ditch, took out some fence poles, and literally the only thing left of that car that wasn't mashed up was the rear trunk lid.
Yeah.
And he got away with 40 stitches on his neck. He could have died easily.
Well, of course.
He crawled out of it. But what I'm saying is, did anybody, I don't know what the, I just know this. He never got that car back. He ended up buying some Chevy 2 Nova, old
right.
one. But how many individuals in their cars, overly built cars, have wrecked and we've heard anything about it? The reason why we're hearing this is because it's Kevin Hart.
Well, yeah, of course it's. I mean, there's some prurient interest just because he's a star.
That's right.
But there's also, you know, personal liability involved here. I mean, here's three things that are going to get dealt with at some point. Obviously, the CHP is still investigating the crash.
Yep.
So until that's done, everything we're saying is conjecture. But look, the driver could be on the hook for Kevin and the backseat passengers, but it's just a little bit early to tell that. The big issue is we're told that the company that customized the car could be looking at a lawsuit. The argument sort of goes like this. If the company is the expert, and even if Kevin wanted a custom job without safety harnesses, the company should have refused it because it wasn't safe, especially with a 720-horsepower engine. I mean, we just barely scratched the surface of this, and you know that there's going to be a bunch of, you know, legal. The TMZ people talked to 10 different custom car companies
wow.
around the country, and I'll have some of that stuff when we come back from the break because this is involved.
Right back with us for more Around the Table and another story from the Org Car Nut book. That and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes off!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Back in Vehicle City. Well, we're back with the second half of the Windshield View, and just before the break, we were talking about the big story for the last month in the car world, and that is Kevin Hart's huge crash with his custom-made 70 Barracuda, and the fallout that's going to happen from that. We agreed that since the CHP is still investigating the crash, even though it happened on September 1st, this is going to go on for a while.
Yes.
And, you know, there were injuries involved. Kevin's out of the hospital now, but, I mean, there's going to be a bunch of stuff going on. And what I was just getting ready to talk about was the TMZ contacted 10 custom car companies around the country, and they asked, so if Kevin's crash being what it is and being that it's still going to be investigated forever, did that open your eyes? Did it change your minds about customizing classic cars without installing safety harnesses? And 8 of the 10 said they would do it if that's what the customer wanted. Only 2 of these companies said no. No matter what the customer wants, we're putting in safety stuff. Oh, I find that kind of interesting because, I mean, clearly it opens these companies up to the possibility of a lawsuit, especially if there's passengers in the car who get injured. And that takes me back to this thing about Kevin's car. If the backseat area, which I understand was not actually a seating area, it was basically behind where a cage would have been, except
right.
it wasn't.
Right.
So I don't know what was back there for the people to sit on, but there was no seatbelts, that we know. So if you say to yourself, okay, I'm getting in this car, and I'm going to ride, it's a two-door car, by the way, so you know, I had to wad themselves into the back there. I'm going to ride back here with no with no stuff.
Like the back of a pickup truck without any seats.
Well, kind of, or riding in a trunk. I mean, it would be really weird. So
a tubbed-out drag car?
Kind of.
You're going to sit back there? I don't think so.
Well, and so clearly they did. And whether there was any, drugs, alcohol, we don't know. But even if there wasn't, you make a decision. I'm getting in this vehicle. Nobody put a gun to their head and said, get in.
Right.
So now who's liable there? Well, you have to assume some liability.
Yes.
But you got in with a guy who's not a professional driver in a car that's clearly, customized beyond,
right.
Realism. So who, and if the company, I find it fascinating that 8 out of 10 companies said, no, if the customer wants it, we'll build it that way. Well, sure, if you got money,
Well,
money pays.
I think really when it comes down to
it. But who's liable?
I think, well.
I mean, that has to be the question.
Okay, so it not to diverge from the car world, but
we sort of can't.
But let's just put it this way. Right now there's a huge, this date that we're talking, the 24th of September, there's been a huge furor about vaping, and some people have died and there's some injuries.
Yeah.
But of the tens of millions of people, are they going to try to use this as a way to regulate and go after so that someone else can make some profit out of this or tax more?
Well, they
or
might.
Regulate?
They
well,
might.
That's right.
But that's
and
a health
so,
issue. That's actually a medical health issue.
But is this not a medical health issue?
No, this is a liability issue. This is clearly liability. Look, the driver.
But it's your health.
But it's liability. It's not. I mean, we're free of choice. We can get in. We can do something.
That's what I'm saying.
We can do it stupid, but it's not about your health. It's about who's liable. If you're not
okay.
If you rode in the car and you didn't get injured, no problem. If you rode in the car and the driver, who is not a pro driving a heavily modified vehicle, wads it up into a fence or a ditch, which is what happened, and the driver has serious back and chest injuries, the passenger in the back seat also has some injuries. The other passenger had only minor injuries. Kevin's got everybody's lawyered up. Everybody in this thing is lawyered up. Now, Kevin's in the crosshairs of the other two people because the car didn't have a safety harness
right.
or airbags. The argument is he should have been worried less about keeping the car authentic and more about safety, and not doing so constitutes negligence. So if that's the game that they're going to play, and it is, I guarantee you
it will be.
So then who actually assumes the liability for the negligence? Is it Kevin because he paid for it? Is it the shop because they did it? And did they tell him, this is not smart, but you paid, so we're going to play?
Okay, so
you see?
I see, and having my wife gone through 2 accidents in the last month, literally. One not her fault, the other one her fault. And dealing with our own insurance company, who will remain anonymous.
Right.
Even though they've been working to help us, they're long in working with the other insurance company that doesn't want to pay out, and then we end up having to still pay money that we shouldn't be paying, waiting for them to. This can be an elongated thing.
This is going to be years.
As people stretch us out to try to who did what, and who needs to pay out.
Sure.
I'm more of the fault that of the attitude that you get into a car and you know darn well this thing is 3 times the horsepower of anything you've ever been in your life. And you're having your buddy that's never driven a race car in their life, and you're out there palling around and this happens. I'm sorry, but crap happens. And when it does, everybody's sad. You know, let's be honest here. They're not dead. Remember the Fast and Furious guy and his friend?
Sure.
They thought they were doing speed racer stuff.
Well, there's no shortage of actors and other people who've.
But what I'm saying is they died.
Yes, they've gotten out of control doing something they thought they could do.
Right. And so when it comes back down to it, you and I would probably both agree, but we're not lawyers here, that really it comes down to the fact is it was an accident.
Well,
it wasn't planned.
No, here's where it gets worse. The guy driving, Jared Black, okay, one of the people in the back was his fiance, Rebecca Brongsterman. And she's a personal trainer, and she, you know, was in the back seat. Now, both of them independently have lawyered up, and they may file lawsuits. Kevin Hart underwent spinal surgery, but now he's basically back. Black had chest and back injuries. Brongsterman, Jared Black's fiance, had minor injuries, and it's amazing because she was in the back. She didn't get hurt that bad. She bounced around, but apparently nothing that required surgery. Now, the lack of airbags, the lack of a safety harness, that's the issue. And are they going to go after the company who restored the vehicle? Are they going to go after each other? Is his fiance going to sue him because he was an idiot? I mean, you know.
It may.
You see? I mean, all of this stuff legally is very, very touchy because they'll all have a case. Whether the case stands up through court, I mean, we're going to watch this, of course, and we'll know. But it's been yet to be determined whether Kevin purposely asked to leave the safety gear off the vehicle, because if that's true, we don't know that yet. If he asked for it to be left off, the company responsible for the restoration should have turned him away. If they continued and completed the job anyway without the safety gear, it's possible that they could face a lawsuit. I mean, we're glad everybody made it out alive. We're glad nobody died. We're glad that the only thing damaged was a 70, you know, Barracuda, which, you know what, they can make another one.
Right.
But for heaven's sake, this is going to be something that custom shops all over the country are going to have to contend with for years.
Yes.
Whether it's a case for a big-time Hollywood star or not, you know, this is something that it's going to be a test case.
It will be a test case.
Yeah. And so I really want to talk to Shane, because we haven't actually hit him with this yet, although he knows about it, to find out. If you're building a car, they just finished a beautiful Buick that they sent out the door.
Yes.
That is pretty hot car. It's not, you know, 720 horse, but it's definitely
a powerful car. Well, they had the GSX or
they
whatever
did.
That was 850 horsepower.
When you build that car, now I happen to know both of those cars had all the safety gear that they needed.
Yes, they did. 5 point.
But if the customer comes in with folding money and says, I want it all naked, do you do that? And if you do, what's your liability? What's your exposure?
And we'll have to even talk to the owner, because we know him very well.
Yeah.
And see if we can't get him. Well, I want to shift gears. We got a little time left here.
Shift gears. I like it.
Yes. Because this is to deal with safety. The National Highway Safety Traffic Administration said it is investing 270,000 Jeep Wranglers from 2018 and 2019 for steering problems.
Ooh.
They elected to do so after the agency and company received more than 3,500 complaints about the vehicles. Now, see, the difference here is these are brand new vehicles.
Yeah, with safety gear.
With safety gear, and this is going to hurt. But now, speaking of Wrangler, it will be offering two new versions. Can you guess what the versions might be?
Well, it's not going to be the Levi version. We know that.
No. One
Wranglers, Levi's, come on. Come on, that was good.
A plug-in version?
Yeah, of course.
And a diesel model.
You know, I'm actually surprised they don't have a diesel. They should have had one a long time ago.
You know, diesels are very popular in pickup trucks here.
Sure.
And even though a lot of companies are getting out of diesel in Europe because of all the emission issues, the pickup trucks here tend to do quite well because they got a lot of torque. And
well, sure.
You can actually make those things go very, very fast.
Well, there's lots to be said for diesel motors. I mean, they have
if you keep your foot out of it, you can get good mileage out of it.
It's a terrific package.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see this. It'll be rolling out in 2020, so keep your eyes open. And as we all know, the passenger car segment has been going away, and Toyota has been picking up and doing quite well in there. And they said, even though the automaker isn't giving up on trucks either, the company confirmed its plan to remain committed to truck sales, this is Toyota, by investing $391 million at its truck plant in San Antonio, Texas. So they are not only going to stick with the sedans, but they're going to continue to take on the truck market. And, you know, that Toyota Tundra is a good pickup truck.
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
No, it's great.
All the Japanese pickup trucks are quite stout.
I especially like, since we're talking Japanese pickup trucks,
yep.
I especially like the new Honda Ridgeline.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good package when they started off. It was just kind of awkward looking.
Yep.
But the new styling is really nice. I like it.
Well, and the Pilot has become quite the popular vehicle.
Yeah, the Pilot. Honda is heading for the Escalade.
It is.
The Pilot started off to be pretty
Suburban, utilitarian,
but now they're pimping
that thing up.
They're
going after the Suburban.
Yeah,
they are.
Up pretty hard.
They are.
And it's a nice vehicle. I darn near bought one.
My brother-in-law has one.
Yeah.
Another friend of our family has one. And they're not fancy. They're a pretty plain.
Well, they are
chain,
now.
Utilitarian.
The new Pilots.
Okay.
They're pretty slick.
Well, I'm looking at one that's probably 5 years old out
yeah,
there.
Yeah. No. There's no holding back the new Pilots.
Oh wow.
They got all the accessories and all the extras that you possibly want. There's practically nothing to add on.
Right.
Because it's all there.
And it just comes that way.
Yeah, that's the way they come.
Plus the reliability.
Yeah, dead on street for 250,000 miles.
Yep. And then sad ending for NASCAR Xfinity Series crew chief Nick Harrison, according to a report released Tuesday by North Carolina Medical Examiner. He died from complications of a drug overdose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we hate to hear that. Apparently he's had a lot of problems in this area because he also had a hypertension, cardiovascular disease, all enlarged liver and heart, meaning...
Wow.
Heavy drinking, drugging, and at 37, that's way too young to do it. So he was well known for Justin Haley's number 11 team, and he'll be sorely missed amongst his group of race fans out there. And we hate to see that. And then, interestingly enough, we talked about this lady a couple weeks ago, or I think it was last week, we were talking about the land speed wrecker gal.
Yeah, 531 miles an hour plus. Are they going to send that in for a Guinness?
Yes, they are.
I think that's great.
They are.
You know, the question is, did she complete the run? And, of course, she did not.
Well, they said they did two practice runs, and it came in, and they're going to see if it did.
Yeah, they may accept the practice run. It would be sort of a Band-Aid, because the actual run where she lost it was the one that they were going to use. You got to go two passes.
Well, it says, within the next couple of weeks, we're going to submit the speeds and information to Guinness to make Jesse the world's fastest in history.
Yeah.
It says, on the morning of August 27th, she recorded a 515 mile per hour run, already faster than Kitty O'Neill's 512 run.
Right.
And then in the second backup run, she ran 548 miles per hour for a lapsed a combine of 531. So she ran two runs.
Right.
Now, whether it's going to hold because they weren't, quote, official versus practice, they may honor her in, what do you call that when somebody's been passed away?
Posthumous.
Yes.
Yeah, they might. And it's. I mean, clearly, she did the runs. The Guinness may not sanction it because they weren't there watching, and they have their specific, you know, requirements.
Yep.
But she did it. I mean, they got the track record, so.
Unfortunately, she did die during her race.
That does kind of put a damper on it.
But, you know, anybody who's doing assault flat racing knows.
But an average of 531, that's moving. That's Breedlove territory up there.
And, you know, when you're doing that, you know, you're taking your life in your hands every single
every
time
day.
You get behind that wheel. I mean, this is not going out on the highway. This is. And yet, you know what? People get addicted to it. Everybody I know that's done it, and I've talked to a lot of guys who've been on motorcycles and gals.
Sure.
And once it gets in their blood, they can't let go.
Well, Art Monroe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Art Monroe.
He set the precedent, didn't he? World's fastest Indian. And
he may still have that record. I'm not sure
for what he did
for the Indian. Yeah,
there's also another one. I forget. We interviewed a guy that wrote a book. It's the picture of him on a bathing suit on the motorcycle. There's another
Raleigh Free.
Yes, Raleigh Free.
Yeah,
that's the extent.
I think
of people.
He pronounced it Roly.
Roly Free.
But yeah, it's an amazing piece of artwork that you'd never want to do now.
No, no.
Hey, you're listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world. A cool hot rod story you can tell your friends is up next. All of that and more cool stuff on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
It's time for Cars Confidential and another hot rod story from the old car nut book. What's up this week, Brady?
The old car nut book. Yeah, thanks to David Dickinson for putting these things together, by the way, because it's really cool to have these stories to choose from. This one is by Dave Alvar, and Dave actually had submitted several stories over the trio of books. This one is called The Foolishness of Youth.
Oh, do we need to go down this road?
Well, we all have. In 1964, I was 17 and dating a girl named Sue. She had two older brothers who worked on tugboats going to Alaska. One had a new Mustang coupe, and the other had a new red Falcon Sprint convertible with a 260 and a 4-speed.
Now, he's 10 years older than me.
While the brothers were gone, they left their keys with little sister. I was driving a 57 Ford at the time. So when we were out, we usually had a choice of taking my Ford, the Mustang, or the Sprint. Well, a red convertible V8 4-speed made it a no-brainer. So one day I was driving up Whidbey Island, which is in the middle of Puget Sound here in the western part of the states, in the Falcon Sprint, top down, Sue riding shotgun, sun was shining, life was good. And up ahead, I saw a blue Falcon four-door. Now, he was doing the speed limit. Chump. And I was doing about twice that, so I quickly overtook him. I pulled out to pass, and as I went by, I realized that Sue's dad was driving the Falcon. I didn't have a clue what to do, so I waved and kept on going. This was probably a bad choice, because the next thing I knew, I was banned from ever driving any of their family cars.
Yes.
Yeah. About a week later, the battery on my Ford gave up the ghost, and being totally broke, I was afoot. And another guy, Steve, walked over to visit Sue, who lived about a mile or so up the beach. The dad was still pretty upset at me and quickly tired of my company. After a short while, he suggested to his daughter that she drive us home. He specified that we go in his car, not the convertible, and also reminded her that she was to do the driving, not either of us. On the way home, Sue mentioned that she might know the whereabouts of an unsupervised battery. About a mile south of my house, a new residential community was being built, and the hillside was still shaped, having only a steep road just cut into the face of the cliff. She said that she'd seen a battery at the bottom of the cliff. I never thought to ask her how she'd gotten down there in the first place. Now, I need to paint a picture here. It's after dark. It started raining heavily. The road in question runs flat from the main road towards the beach and then takes a 90-degree turn and starts down really sharply. Next, there comes a 180-degree switchback with a large boulder on the inside of the corner. Then there's a long, slender, steep, straight section cut into the face of the cliff, and finally, another 90-degree turn onto the flats at beach level. At this point, it's all mud. With Sue driving, we made it safely to the bottom, only to discover that the battery was long gone. Sue announced that she was absolutely not going to attempt the drive back up. That left me in the driver's seat. You see how this is already going sideways?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We made it around the first corner and most of the way up the straight section before the six-cylinder automatic Falcon bogged down and came to a stop. This is already not good. Since there was no getting going again and the tires spun on the slick, muddy clay, I instructed Steve and Sue to go sit on the trunk, hoping that the added weight would afford some traction. It didn't work. Finally, Steve and Sue got off the trunk and slogged around to the passenger window. As we were discussing what to do next, I suddenly realized they were moving away from me. However, they weren't moving. I was. The brakes were locked, but the car was sliding merrily down the hill toward the edge of the cliff.
Merrily.
I peered out the side window and saw that I was looking straight down, probably 150 feet to the bottom. Another few seconds and I would be down there. If I lived through it, Sue's dad would certainly kill me. I did the only thing I could think of. I released the brakes, and I let the car roll down the hill slowly, steering it away from the edge as it picked up speed. When I hit the bottom, I slid the car backwards, around the corner, and brought it to a stop. My heart was beating about 100 miles an hour. The seat was damper than it had been when we left the house. Finally, I stopped shaking, and I decided to try the uphill run one more time. I took the bottom corner as fast as I dared. I did everything I could to maintain my momentum as I fishtailed ever higher. When I got to the switchback, the car slid sideways, just missed the boulder, but it kept going all the way to the level area at the top. We drove slowly back to my house. We spent quite a bit of time hosing the mud from the Falcon.
Yes.
and then Sue went home. I don't remember what she told her dad about why it took so long to get us home, but it must have been a good story because I'm sure he would have mentioned it to me otherwise. Mentioned being a hopeful term. The moral of the story, I never did figure that part out, but I do keep a good battery in my car these days, and I stay out of four-door Falcons that don't belong to me.
Jeez. Oh, the things you do and your girlfriends let you do because they're in love with you.
Not to mention, you know, we survive our youth, I think, on sufferance.
Yeah.
A lot of things. I mean, we all have the stories. I'm not even going to get started. But,
no.
You know, when we were kids, I know you did, and I certainly did a lot of stuff that I had no business doing.
Oh, yes.
Didn't know how to do that thing. Did it on sheer guts and, you know, gorillas and said, I'm going to do this because I think I can. Well, you know. I will share one brief story with you. When I was 16, I bought my first Harley Davidson. I bought it from the cops at the cop auction. And it was a big old panhead, and it was a full dress bike. I took the saddlebags and the windshield off of it, but otherwise it was a big bagger, you know.
Right.
My friend lived a ways away, and he had a house that had a very steep, the thing was up on a kind of a hill below the sidewalk, and there was a steep lawn that went down to the sidewalk, and it was way too steep to be riding a motorcycle up, but I did it anyway. And I thought to myself as I'm coming to his house, oh, they're up there in the yard. I'll just drive up the lawn.
Right.
And I did. I pulled up the driveway. I was doing about 35. I hit the driveway, bounced up the sidewalk, and roared up the lawn to park in front of his house.
Right.
This was a cool idea. However, those bikes had footboards, and I dug a huge divot out of his lawn on the hillside with the footboard and came to, I did not fall over. It was a miracle. I wish I could say I planned it, but I did not. I came to a stop, and there was a big gout of sod hanging off the footboard, and they were standing there with their jaws on the ground. Of course, I played it off like I planned the whole thing.
Right.
I did not. I clearly could have died. But the question became then, how cool was I, and how was I going to get down? Because I had to go back down.
Right.
Yeah. Going down was not so much fun. But, you do that thinking that you know what you're doing.
You do.
Yeah. But you don't. And if you don't die, you are legendary for a little while, and then
you know,
other stuff happens.
That reminds me of one night. It was a beautiful sunny night, probably in the summer, if I remember right. And I was in Linwood, and I decided I wanted to go to the Burger King, and I was coming down the main drag, and I took a left and got in the center lane, and I went to go across, then to turn into, you know, go across traffic and
right.
head into the parking lot. Well, there were some cars coming, so I kind of gunned it, went across the two lanes, hit the entrance to the parking lot. Well, it kind of dipped down and went back up. Next thing you know, I'm airborne.
Nah.
I'm going about 10 feet.
Never a good thought.
I planted the back end, dropped mm-hmm. it, dropped the front, and slowly came to a stop and parked it. And there was a kid there, or a guy. It was probably older than me. He's like, "Wow, dude, that was so cool." And I'm like, "Yeah. Oh, yeah. That yeah. was yeah, planned, that was cool.
Planned every inch
planned
of that.
Every minute of it."
You wait a minute. So you went airborne, and the back of the car came down first?
No, I was in a motorcycle.
Oh, you're in a motorcycle. But even so, the back came down first?
Yeah.
Ah, that's a miracle.
Well, it was. I went up, and I came down, and I dropped it. I kind of made sure it would drop down, and I smacked it.
You hoped?
Yeah. It was not planned, but, you know, I've done a little bit of that on motocross bikes, and that's a lot of
fun.
That's
a whole different deal,
but though. But I did not mean to do it in a parking lot.
Yeah.
It was just, and then I realized a lot of those things had the little dips up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not what you want to do. In a car, I would have just...
You'd have bottomed it out.
Yes.
You'd have left your pan all over the place. Look, what's that black stuff? Oh man. Not driving now.
But, you know, I think our angels were looking over us. There's no doubt about it.
Well, believe me, I would not have made it past my youth without a lot of wings overhead.
I know.
Hey, I want to say thank you to David Dickinson for for all the great stories in the old Car Nut book series. You can get them on Amazon. You can also get them direct if you want. And David would appreciate you buying straight through theoldcarnutbook.com. There's three books in the series. I'm bugging him to get the fourth book published. I hope that he does. They do make a great gift. And there's a new video on the website, by the way. The weekly trivia question is next. Peek at next week's show. Put it in park. Stick around. We will return. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older. In the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man.
Oh, hey, welcome back. It's Around the Wheel. This is where we talk about upcoming events, the weekly trivia question. Our winner from last week is a young fellow by the name of Connor Tran.
Oh.
I think it's T-R-A-N-H. I'm pretty sure. It was hard to read. Sent me an email. And the question from last week was an absolutely marvelous question. The question was, and I say that because I came up with it. No ego here. The question was, when did Chrysler first officially use the term Hemi. Now, it's kind of a trick question because it wasn't when they first started making Hemi engines. They started making Hemi engines way back. But they first used the actual term Hemi, the term itself, in, what do you think? Got a chance?
58?
No. Say they started making the Hemi heads back in the 50s, but they didn't actually use the term until 64.
I was just going to say early 60s.
Yeah, 64. That was when they did it. 50. They started making them in 54, that configuration.
But they weren't
calling them Hemis. They were calling them something else. And so it's kind of cool. Connor knew it, and so Connor gets the official Horsepower Chrome and Rust Barn Find Dust can for this week. We will put his name and picture up there because that's how cool he is. Well done, Connor. And next week, I got a question for you next week. This is going to be a good one. We were talking earlier about Japanese vehicles and how many of them are doing such a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time when the first Japanese car was produced in the United States. First car.
Oh.
What was the first Japanese car produced in the United States? That is the question. If you know or think you know, you can get to our Facebook page and send us a post or a message there. You can email us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. Or you can fling stuff at us as we're driving down the road. Either way, if you happen to know, you too, yes, you too could win your name along with the fabulous chrome-plated engine-turned, engraved horsepower chrome and rust barn find dust can, which, as we all know, if you sprinkle that dust on your vehicle, you will quadruple the value because people will think you found it in a barn.
Oh, my gosh. Can you build it up anymore there, Brady?
Yes. Don't try.
I know.
I can go. Anyway.
I wanted to say welcome to Jason and Nathan for becoming followers on the Podomatic outlet.
Oh, excellent. Well done.
And
well done.
As a matter of fact, I do get notices. And for everybody who has joined us on Facebook and Podomatic and the other outlets, thank you so much. I always mean to write down your name and mention it on our show. And then I get busy, and the next thing you know, it's the show has come and gone, and I'm like, darn. And then I look back, and there's a month late, you know, earlier I've got an email notice, and I'm like, I got to say something.
No,
so
there.
Thanks, Jason and Nathan and everybody else for joining us. Make sure you tell all of your friends about us.
We love to have
you. Hey, I came across a really neat Hemmings car of the week.
Oh, cool.
A car find, and it's an absolutely beautiful 68 SS396, 325 horsepower, all original numbers matching, factory four-speed. Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
Chevelle, only 1,130 miles on a frame-on restoration.
Oh, when so it's not even broken in yet, hardly.
No, and it says, I had a pre-purchased inspection done. The shop called this car absolutely solid. The only item is not original is the carburetor and 12-bolt posi rear, and has been replaced with a 69 model.
Okay.
You know how much you're asking for this? I was surprised. It wasn't as much as I thought you would go for.
What do you think?
Well, it was $49,950 what the asking
price. For a frame-off resto, that's not bad.
No, I would think they'd ask more, but I don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes Chevelles are just not as, you know.
Well, John Wick drove one, dang it.
Did he?
Yeah, in the first movie.
Oh, I haven't watched my.
That's the one they trashed.
I thought that was like that's 72, one. But.
It was the one he took from John Leguizamo's character, the car guy, because after they trashed his Mustang.
Right, okay, that's right, that's right.
That's what started all
the bad
stuff.
I watched one of those, I think it was the first one, and that was all I could take. You know, just blood and mayhem. I don't need any more of that.
Hey, we're glad you're here. We had a great roundtable discussion tonight, and just like over a million folks, you were part of it. We're glad you did it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for liking our website and our Facebook page. HorsepowerChromeAndRust.podomatic.com is where you can find the show, or on our Facebook page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I am Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor, and your face to the windshield. Next week, we do it again on another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.